been another culture where the horizon of life is 90 years old. I think that radically changes.
Well, it is. We're pursuing eternal life in America, believing that somehow if we just wait a little bit longer and can elect the right people in office and get the right doctors and scientists in there, we don't need Jesus anymore. We can have eternal life right here.
Boy, that is so true, isn't it?
Well, you know, we would never say that. But that's how we live.
There's so many things that are like that where where you would never say it, but in light of how we live, it really is saying that that's what we believe. That's
but here's this guy, Peter, who resisted Jesus about going to the cross, but then when he finally got it, he becomes the clearest messenger. Paul and Peter become the clearest messengers of this subject. For instance, Peter said that Christ came to redeem those who through fear of death will all their lifetime subject to bondage. Fear of death. Isn't it the very fear of death or of loss that drives us to embrace the culture and its mandates rather than Christ?
Absolutely. It's kind of like I have this picture in my head of like a, you know, a deer creeping out of the woods, like, you know, I was used to running away from, you know, from civilization. And God saying, no, death has been tamed. You don't, have to run away anymore. Yeah. I will translate it into life.
There you go. And it gives us total freedom then. Freedom from that bondage. And that's what we're talking about. Real life. A million ways to die. The only way to live. This is a terrific book for such a time as this. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Get it on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA or write to us. Peter said, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. I hope that's the cry of your heart, my friend. Become a partner with us, will you? Prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. We'll be back with you tomorrow. God bless you and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismire. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor David Whitney, who is with the Institute on the Constitution, an organization organized, 9 years or so ago, to try to rekindle in the hearts of the American people an understanding of our great Constitution, of the document that separates America from all other nations in the world. For never before in the history of mankind has there been a system of government that was specifically designed to limit the power of government so men would be free. And all powers not specifically delegated to Congress by the Constitution are to be limited and are to be delegated to the states and to the people. Because liberty and limited government were synonymous, and tyranny and total government are synonymous, and our founding fathers realized you could not trust government. It was Thomas Jefferson who said so well, "In matters of politics, speak not to me of confidence in men, but bind them down for mischief by the chains of the Constitution." And many times Congress votes on all sorts of pieces of legislation that just make you feel good. They want to solve the problems of society. They want to help people. But they are extending the power which has been given to them by the Constitution, and they have betrayed the very oath that they've sworn to uphold the Constitution. Our Constitution limited the power of government. But that is never taught today. Oh, no, we need government to provide for the health and the education and the welfare of the people. And what's wrong with helping older people, you know, so that their twilight years can be golden years? And, well, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not the function of the federal government. And they've run a Ponzi scheme since 1936. They're out of money, and now they're starting to talk about how they're going to extend the age at which you can retire up to 69, 70. Probably have to go to the mid-70s, somewhere down the line. They're going to have to start cutting back, you know, on the amount of the inflation-related raise every month, every year. Basically, they were supposed to tag Social Security to inflation, so the inflation tax couldn't destroy the value of Social Security. And now they're going to do that. And if we get up into an inflation rate of 7-10%, why, within 5 years, your Social Security will be worth less than half of what it is today? All these systems mean so well, but they don't work because they violate the Constitution, which most people don't understand. Pastor David Whitney, you pick up the story here.
Thank you so much, Dr. Stan. Indeed, that is the danger our founders recognized, that if you want something from government, if you want something that is going to help you, you have to be very, very careful, because most of the things that government does are not going to help you. They're going to hinder. They're going to hurt you. And so our founders wisely constructed our Constitution, and then specifically beyond just the Constitution, then they guarded against the government encroachment of our God-given rights with the Bill of Rights, those first 10 amendments to our Constitution. Subsequently, however, many of the following amendments do the exact opposite. Instead of restricting the power of the federal government, they've expanded the power of federal government today to a point where many congressmen and senators believe the federal government can do anything it chooses to do, anything it wants to do, which is the exact opposite of what our founders said, and they knew that liberty would not be preserved if government was given unlimited power over the lives and the liberties and over the property of the people.
And I think this is what the Tea Party was all about. People are saying, we don't want so much government, but then, of course, there are other people who are saying, and now they want to take away our Social Security. They want to take away our Medicare. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't have your freedom and have a government that provides for you. Any government that can provide for you from the cradle to the grave has to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave. We'll be back in just a moment. Master David, you go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Last month we were discussing the amendments that followed our Bill of Rights, and we were particularly talking about the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, the amendments that all followed that terrible war to prevent Southern independence. And each one of those amendments were further restrictions of the powers that we, the people, wanted to preserve for ourselves. And one of the things that's hard for many of us to imagine, because we live in such an unconstitutional day, but it's hard for us to imagine that there were restrictions on the federal government to keep it within a certain set of boundaries that were not restrictions on the state government. In other words, the state government had many powers that it was free to exercise that were restricted from the federal government. And indeed, the 13th, 14th, and 15th all had to do with changing that, turning that around to the opposite, such that now the states had restrictions placed upon themselves, and the federal government began to expand in its power. Well, moving from the 15th Amendment in 1870 to the 16th Amendment all the way up to 1913, the 16th Amendment as well represented an enormous shift of power from the states and also from the individual citizens to the federal government. It was the what we call the Income Tax Amendment. The 16th Amendment was first attempted early on by Congress back in 1893, where they passed an income tax as a law, not as an amendment to the Constitution. But the Supreme Court, 2 years later in 1895, ruled it unconstitutional. They did so on the basis of the clause in Article 1, Section 9 of our Constitution that prohibits capitation taxes. And that may be a term that's not that familiar to us today. What is capitation? Well, we're fairly familiar with the term decapitation. You know, somebody's head has been cut off by the guillotine or what have you. So The capitation tax is a tax directly upon the head, that is, directly upon the person. And our founders feared ever giving the central government, the federal government, the kind of power to directly tax individuals, and so they restricted it in Article 1, Section 9, that if there were ever to be an attempt to do a direct tax, a capitation tax, such a tax must not be against the individual, but instead must be apportioned according to the population of the state. So as we have a census required by Article 1 of our Constitution, and that census it has two functions in mind.
Hold that thought, David. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor David is talking about the whole idea of the income tax. Now, basically, this was the 16th Amendment. And, of course, they had tried, Congress had tried this in the 1880s, and the Supreme Court had ruled it unconstitutional because it is unconstitutional, according to the Constitution, for a direct tax on the individual. They didn't want the government to tax the individual or to be able to tax the individual. It was only that the federal government could actually ask the states for money according to the number of people in the state. And, of course, since these members of the Senate were elected by the state legislatures, and if they were going to be demanding more money from the states, they were behind causing the states to have to give more money to the federal government, why pretty soon the state legislatures said, we want to get rid of that senator, let's get somebody in there who will represent the states. That's why they had to have the direct election of senators, so that there would not be the restriction on the senators. They could do whatever they wanted to, and now they could be bought and sold by the people with a great deal of money. Money, people who would give the senators money to run for election and then would control them. It was basically the great corporations at that time, back in 1913, who wanted the direct election of senators. They wanted the finest senators that money could buy. Well, certainly, as far as the 16th Amendment was concerned, why it was really originally presented as a vehicle of, well, we have to tax only the very wealthy. I mean, this is never going to be for the average individual, just for the people of great wealth. You know, they have so much money, they could give 1% or 2% or, well, no more, never to 3%, but we wouldn't put a restriction on the amount of income tax, because if we put a restriction of 3%, it would go to 3%. So it's only for the very wealthy, and of course, that's the same excuse they've used over and over again. That's how they got the alternative minimum tax in, you know. The alternative minimum tax was, do you know that there are millionaires that don't pay any income tax? Why, isn't that terrible, you know? What we want, of course, is to get those millionaires, we're going to have put in this alternative minimum tax. And what do you know? As soon as they put it in, there were twice as many millionaires who weren't paying any taxes. Oh, but, of course, the tax was designed to hit the middle class through the process of inflation. They knew it was going to happen. They just didn't want the suckers, the people in the middle class, to know that the alternative minimum tax was aimed at them. And what do you hear President Obama saying? Oh, we only want to tax the very rich, you know. We certainly will go along with the tax cuts for the middle class, but not for the wealthy. And ladies and gentlemen, through the process of inflation, why, one day you're going to be a millionaire, but $1 million may not buy a loaf of bread. They know what they're doing. It's always, oh my goodness, we justify our programs, but we're going after the wealthy, and the wealthy don't pay the taxes. They've always got means of getting away from it. They've got lawyers. They've got all sorts of vehicles, so they don't pay taxes. And when you hear these populists like Barack Obama saying it's only for the very wealthy, don't you believe him? He knows what he's doing. But then, of course, he is employed by the very wealthy. His largest contributor was Goldman Sachs Bank. Do you really believe that he's out to get the wealthy? Who do you think put up almost $500 million for him to run for Congress, run for the presidency? Pastor Whitney, I'll be quiet. You go ahead.
Oh, well, no, thank you, Dr. Stan. I mean, your insights are right on target. We could literally say right on the money, because it is an issue of wealth, and it is an issue of reducing to poverty our great nation. And again, that's why our founders wisely did not want any power of taxation to be in the hands of the federal government to directly reach out and touch the individual citizen. It could only be through the states, apportioned according to the census, that is, when the Congress was to ever level a direct tax. By the way, it was very rare. It was only in times of war in the history of our country, in the first 150 years of our country. It was only in times of war where this direct tax was required. Other than that, the way that the federal government was funded, because the federal government was very small in its function and very small in its number of employees, the way it functioned was by tariffs. That is, a small percentage of tariff money was claimed on any goods imported. They were not excessive tariffs, at least until the war between the states, when there were many wicked excessive tariffs. But other than that, the tariffs were small in size in terms of the percentage, and yet they met the entire need of funding the federal government, except in the times of war, like the War of 1812 or the War to Prevent Southern Independence. In fact, history shows us that the U.S. Treasury many times had a surplus. That is, they had more money brought in by these tariffs than was actually spent in the operation of the federal government. If you could believe that, there was a surplus instead of the multi-trillion dollar deficit that we have today. In fact, that surplus, because they recognized it was illegal for the federal government to keep such money year to year in the Treasury, they returned money. That's right, they returned money to the states when they had this surplus. So it is interesting that the income tax amendment was not put forward because the federal government actually needed any money. No, that wasn't its purpose at all. In fact, the first income tax passed back there by Congress in 1893 had nothing to do with raising revenue for the federal government. As shocking as that might sound, that's the truth of the matter. It had everything to do with an attempt, or a supposed attempt, to bust up the illegal monopolies, that is, the trusts of that day. The big oil companies and many other illegal trusts were developed to get around the monopoly, anti-monopoly laws that Congress, Sherman Antitrust Act and so on, that Congress had passed. And the wicked and the wealthy conspired to evade these laws by creating secret trusts where the money was exchanging and moving from one place to another, and the government could not discover that. So the way they schemed to discover it was to create this income tax requirement, which would require all corporations to open their books. So basically Congress would know where the flow of money was going. They could identify where these illicit trusts were taking place, and they could bust up the trusts. President Taft ran on a trust-busting platform, promised that he was going to bust the trust. Well, we know that he was part of the evil scheme behind the scenes here to actually bring about this unconstitutional design, and so when he proposed the 16th Amendment, the way he sold it to Congress was this idea of it was going to bust the trusts. And it was accepted only on the grounds that the 16th Amendment would not touch citizens. That is, it would not change what our Constitution prohibited. The federal government could not engage in capitation taxes, taxes directly upon the heads of the individual citizens. This tax was against corporations. Force them to open their books so they could see where the trusts were. This tax was also designed to be against non-resident legal aliens, that is, people who were legally in our country but who were not citizens of any one of the states. These are resident aliens, and the fact that they're given permission to conduct business would say that the Congress can choose to tax them. They're not prohibited from taxing them, and so the 16th Amendment designed to do just that and only that. In fact, we find that the Supreme Court itself, in the case just after the ratification in 1913, the Supreme Court in the Brush-Shaber case said that no new taxing powers have been granted to the federal government by the 16th Amendment. That, in other words, the restriction against capitation taxes continued to stand in spite of the 16th Amendment. The 16th Amendment did not change this at all. And the astonishing thing is that Brush-Shaber case is the one which the IRS currently relies upon to say that the income tax is constitutional. Well, sure, it's constitutional if it's aimed at corporations and if it's aimed at non-resident aliens, but it is not constitutional if it is aimed at citizens of one of the 50 states. Those citizens are protected from any capitation taxes, and the tax must be apportioned according to the census, and that is the bill for the tax is never to come to the individual citizen.
But, of course, David, they have violated that law, and certainly if you try to fight this in court, why, you're not going to be able to get a fair hearing because you're going to be before a federal judge who's actually employed by the federal government. And people, you know, who use this sort of a defense, everything you say is absolutely right. But when people don't pay their taxes, they put them in jail, even if it is illegal.
And that's why I would never encourage anyone to do that. It's not the way to fight this. The way to fight this is to educate millions of Americans about these truths until they rise up in mass and demand that Congress end these unconstitutional actions and basically abolish an unconstitutional agency called the Internal Revenue Service.
And I think people have to understand the reason they wanted the income tax was, first of all, so they could control the individual, they could terrorize and intimidate the individual, but they needed it because they were going to have wars. You can't, you know, finance wars unless you can tax the people. And as of course they found out later, it gets the people angry when you tax them, so then they decided simply to borrow the money, and that's, of course, how we fought the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the first Gulf War, the wars we're fighting today. We simply borrow the money. We don't tax the people. We don't want to get the people angry. But, of course, they use the income tax to finance World War I. They used the income tax to finance World War II. And when they found that people got angry paying for the wars, they figured, well, we'll have wars, and we'll just do it without charging the people. We'll just buy it from borrow the money from their children and their grandchildren. That's what it was all about. But you have to have money to fight wars. And in 1913, we were starting on our program towards empire. Go right ahead.
And that 1913 tax, as you mentioned already, was a very small percentage, 1% for almost any of the corporations or non-resident aliens that were going to be taxed. The super wealthy, those making what would be, you know, $7, $8, $9, $10 million per year today, the top tax rate for the most wealthy corporations and non-resident aliens was only 6%. Can you imagine that? The top tax rate was supposed to be kept at 6% forever.
But, of course, basically they do it very slowly because they don't want us to get upset. The last thing they want the American people to know is that the ultimate plan is to destroy this nation and impoverish our people. Go right ahead, David.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. So this whole tax scheme that we currently are under is completely unconstitutional. It's completely against the design of our founders. And there's interesting things.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
And in many instances, most instances, the state did not ratify the 16th and the 17th Amendments. Or if they did, they simply said, well, you're going to have to amend it to our specifications. We will not ratify your amendment. And but in many of the states, they didn't ratify it at all. And yet, there was a conspiracy at that time. They realized how important it was to get this through. And somebody reported to the State Department that the states had ratified it when they hadn't. And that's how they got them through. It was all dishonest. Bill Benson wrote a book called The Law That Never Was. It's interesting to go up on Amazon and look at the book. I think it's about $150. We used to carry them. They weren't that expensive. But, of course, they've done everything they could to destroy this book. The last thing they want is for the American people to know that starting back, you know, in the 1913, 1914, the wicked people were there. They were working at the state level. They were working at the federal level. And they fraudulently announced that the 16th Amendment and the 17th Amendment had been ratified when it didn't happen at all. The book, The Law That Never Was, by Bill Benson, and we'll have to get Bill back on again. It's a tragic story because they put Bill Benson in jail, in prison, a number of times. Why? Because he told the truth, and they told him, you've got to stop telling that. And he says, but it's true. It doesn't matter whether it's true. We're going to put you in jail. And they put him in jail a number of times for actually telling the American people that his studies, and he's got all the documentation in his book, they never ratified the amendments. And they say, well, it's been accepted for such a long period of time. It's part of our way of life. Ladies and gentlemen, it's fraudulent. There is a conspiracy, and they're still working at the same level so that they can have dossiers on every American citizen. The IRS has a dossier on you. The CIA has a dossier on you. DARPA has a dossier on you. NSA has a dossier. FBI has a dossier. I've seen my FBI dossier page after page after page blocked out. in the name of national security, because I was an anti-communist. I was speaking against the dangers of communism when I was young and didn't understand the enemy was never in Moscow, because we financed Moscow and we brought the Chinese communists to power. The enemy was always at 50 AD 68th Street in New York City, at the Harold Pratt House, and later then at the headquarters of the Trilateral Commission. But you go right ahead, David.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And by the way, people, they don't need to purchase the book, like you say. It's been made so expensive, very difficult to purchase. But if they just want to see a summary of the findings, they can go to a website, the Law That Never Was, just put in that ad in the search engine. You'll come up with a website, and the website gives you a summary sheet of all the different defects in the ratification of the 16th Amendment. The evidence is there. It is astonishing. And it means to me that if there were some state legislatures that had the courage to act upon this fact, that the 16th Amendment was not ratified properly, the 17th Amendment was not ratified properly, neither one of them are lawful or legal, and are therefore they're not binding upon the states, that the states could do what Georgia was proposing, say, we're going to cut off the IRS, the IRS is going to be out of business in our state. They could also... So they could basically say that the 16th Amendment is not to be regarded at all because it's not constitutional, and even if it were constitutional, it's not being applied as to the exact meaning of what it was when it was ratified, that it was not citizens, it was corporations and non-resident aliens. The states could do this and protect their people against the IRS, but they better be ready to fight, because I'm sure if they were to take this action, there would be a war. The IRS and their goons and the BATF and their goons, they have an army. And their army would descend upon any state that attempted to break free from the chains of the 16th or 17th Amendment. And so the state had better be well prepared with its militia, which is the constitutional structure. The reason for the militia is to protect the citizens and the state against a tyrannical civil government in Washington, D.C. But if a state doesn't have a militia, then it's not prepared to protect itself against the army that's at the behest of the beast in Washington, D.C. And so really, while I'm teaching all these truths, what needs to happen is the states reassert and redevelop a true militia. I appreciate the constitutional scholar Edwin Vieira and his conclusion that there's not one state in the Union, not one of the 50 states, that actually has a legally constituted constitutional militia, which is what our Second Amendment requires. So it's no surprise that the wicked have denigrated the whole term militia again and again. They don't want a militia ever to arise to stop the tyrannical beast of Washington, D.C.
And people have to understand there really are people who want a dictatorship in Washington, D.C. because they work through the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and certainly they are in complete and total control today.
Gather far across the field. Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices,
well, David, you're right ahead.
Well, as we look at these facts, we've already talked about the 17th Amendment, and if you understand the beauty of what our founders designed, they designed the Senate to be the voice of the state legislatures to check any action on the part of the federal government that might in any way injure the state. They wanted a balance of power that actually put more power in the hands of the states than in the hands of the federal government. The evidence for that is the read Federalist Paper 45, where the powers we are giving to the federal government, they said, are very few, defined, and very limited. The powers remaining with the state governments are undefined and wide-ranging in comparison with the powers we're giving to the federal government. And the only way to keep the federal government inside the box designed by our founders, which we call our Constitution and Bill of Rights, the only way to keep the federal government inside that box was to give power to the states to stop the federal government dead in its tracks anytime the states saw any kind of actions on the part of the federal government that were outside the bounds of the Constitution. And this was the power of the Senate. You see, the Senate, the members of the Senate were all appointed by the state legislature. They were not voted on by the citizens at all. And although they had a term of 6 years, they could be replaced at any point in time during any time during that 6 years. And it's interesting to read the testimony of Daniel Webster, who was an honorable man in many respects. And at one point in time, he realized that the votes that he felt obliged to give in the Senate, that those votes would actually be against the wishes of his home state legislature, in that case, Massachusetts. So he knew that in his conscience, he believed he should vote one way, but he knew the state legislature of Massachusetts wanted him to vote the other way than what he felt he was duty-bound to do. And so what did he do? He didn't vote his conscience. He resigned. He resigned and basically left it up to the state legislature to appoint somebody as his replacement to vote the will of the state legislature in
the
Senate.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Sydney, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution, pointing out that the power of the central government is limited and defined. Very little it can do. Read the 45th of the Federalist Papers. The power of the state governments are unlimited and ill-defined so that they can really take care of matters having to do with life, liberty, and property. Of course, the federal government was never to have anything to do with the individual. We were not to, you know, have a Social Security number. And when they gave it to us, why, President Roosevelt promised that would never be used for anything else, never be used. And he was lying. And government officials lie all the time because every long-range plan is to get everybody numbered, and then one day you'll neither buy nor sell unless you be known by the number, unless your number be 666, or you'd be known by the number of his name, something of the sort. Anyway, you know the quotation from the Revelation. Basically, they want it's all numbered to take us into the cashless society. Long-range planning. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was deeply involved in the occult, as was Eleanor Roosevelt. In fact, you remember that Hillary Clinton hired Jean Houston to come to the White House to conjure up the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt when Hillary moved into the White House. Isn't it interesting that when Hillary was running for the presidency against Barack Obama, nobody ever mentioned her fact that she was into spiritualism and trying to conjure up the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt, who was deeply involved in the occult. I wonder why nobody in the media remembered that event. Well, is it possibly the media is controlled? Well, before we go on, Pastor David, I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, how they can learn how to put on a program, and how then they can put on a program and begin teaching their friends and relatives and neighbors about our amazing Constitution.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. And it's very exciting to us here at Institute on the Constitution, the great awakening that's taking place across our land as Tea Party people are aware that something is wrong, something is desperately wrong with our country, and they're having a sense that it has something to do with the Constitution. And so we have a great opportunity right now to reach a host of people across the country. And so we've put together what we call a host kit because we know that many people would be intimidated by the idea of them teaching the Constitution. So instead, Dr. John Eismo, a constitutional law professor with 12 lectures, explains and expounds the materials that we're actually walking through here in a little more detail than the course does. We're walking through here on the radio series. But that is accompanied with two additional lectures by David Barton, a student notebook that is a detailed outline of the entire course with test questions after each of the lectures, supplemental reading materials like Bastiat's excellent book, The Law. Everybody ought to read Bastiat. It's just a mind-blowing book that opens your understanding to what the wicked people are up to. All this material together with a host manual that describes how to conduct a class, gives you the test answers for each of the series of test questions. We put this together in a host kit that people can go to our website and order it at our web store. And that website for Institute on the Constitution is called IOTConline.com. That's one word, IOTC www.fluoridefreeonline.com and click on the store there, look at the host kit, and order your host kit and grab a group of people together, perhaps in your own living room, or we're encouraged where we see many churches across the country having classes conducted in their facilities, offering their church members an opportunity to train in understanding what's involved in being a Christian citizen. And this is essential because it was churches that laid the foundation for our first war for independence. Many knew, including King George III, that war would have never happened, and independence would have never been sought if it weren't for the pulpits of America that proclaimed the crown rights of King Jesus and the standard of law which the king was violating. And as a simple way in which churches today can communicate the message as to what's the biblical view of law and government. Other people have rented facilities of all sorts or asked for free space in the library, many different ways and places that this can take place. But every community across America needs citizens who are willing to train fellow citizens about what is truly law, not the unlaw that's proclaimed by the Supreme Court and the Congress and the White House, not that unlaw, unconstitutional, illegal things that are being done, but instead the true law. And to retake our country from the wicked who are in power, we have to train ourselves as to what the true law is, what the original idea of our country was, and what the original documents meant as those who crafted them meant them to be understood.
Well, now, how can people get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution? Yes. What's the website? What's the telephone number?
Our website at Institute on the Constitution is IOTConline.com, and they could call us toll-free during business hours here on the East Coast, and our toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number again for Institute on the Constitution, 1-866-730-9796. And we encourage every listener to call, get a host kit, or go to our website, get a host kit, start a group in your community, because if citizens will do this, the citizens who understand the law can put out of business this corrupt government in Washington, D.C., and restore constitutional government to our land, limited by the boundaries of our Constitution, and securing our God-given rights to life, liberty, and property as it was originally designed.
And the website, one more time.
Website is IOTConline.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, all across America, more now than ever before, people are taking these courses and learning about the Constitution. And when people learn about the Constitution, they suddenly say, well, I never learned that in school. Of course not. They control the educational system. The last thing they want the people to realize is that there's a fraudulent process to take away their freedom. The Constitution is the law of this country. The subversive element doesn't want you to hear about it, and the subversive element operates what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Their ultimate goal is the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation, the enslavement of our people, the enslavement of all people. Those who are, of course, allowed to survive the coming population control reduction programs. Well, go right ahead then with your description of our Constitution, David.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, the 17th Amendment, as we mentioned with Bill Benson's research, it also was not legally ratified, which means, indeed, the states could actually act to control their senators and remove them from office when the senators do not do the will of the people. They could eliminate this part of the election cycle, say, no, on our state ballots, there will be no U.S. senators appearing at all. We are not going to have elections of U.S. senators. This is not legally ratified. And we, the states, are not going to permit our state to have its rights, or not rights, because states don't have rights, but our powers as state governments to be restricted by the federal government. Again, they have to be prepared to do battle toe-to-toe with a wicked, tyrannical federal government that will send its forces and its troops their way. But I remember that Zell Miller, who was a senator years ago, he's since retired, but Zell Miller called for a repeal of the 17th Amendment on the floor of the Senate shortly before his retirement, and he was booed and mocked and pilloried in the press, but he was exactly right. Actually, it doesn't need to be repealed, it just needs to be ignored because it was never legally ratified, but I guess you could go through a repeal process to be sure that you've driven a stake in the heart of the thing and buried it 6 feet under so it's not going to come back to life ever again. And this would be what would return the balance of power to the states. We could shut down all these bailouts. I mean, the billions of dollars given away to banks, and the banks said, we're not going to tell you where we spent that money. In fact, they gave million-dollar bonuses to these bank presidents who were failures as bank presidents, but they were going to be rewarded for failing because this is the scheme to impoverish our country. So that could have been stopped by senators who were doing the will of the state legislature. Because the state legislature, there's no way we're going to permit our people to be impoverished to enrich these wicked banksters stealing from our people. We're not going to permit that, especially when the state were in control of having to raise the funds to pay the bill for any federal taxes. So the 16th and the 17th together destroyed enormously the design of our founders to keep the federal government within the bounds of the Constitution and under the thumb of the state legislatures. And this design needs to be restored if we're going to see a return to freedom in our country, and indeed if we are going to be lifted from the oppression that the federal government is foisted upon every state in our country. So we need a movement of people who understand the true understanding of what took place with the 16th and 17th Amendment and who will demand of their state legislatures to move in the direction of acting to restore the constitutional government of our founders. So there's some encouragement because many of the people who have been elected from the Tea Party movement in Washington, I know, are brand new at some of these things. And I know Michelle Bachmann is calling for classes and proposing to train, especially the freshman congressmen, but hopefully even some who've been there for some time, to train them in an understanding of what the Constitution actually says. I fear, however, and we ought to pray for her and for the decisions being made there, I fear that the people who may be chosen to actually teach those incoming freshmen may be the opposite of what's needed. I understand, and I haven't confirmed, but I understand that one of the persons that she is tapped to have come give lectures is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Well, I don't believe he's qualified as much as you might think he was because he doesn't even understand our form of government. He believes we are a democracy, which tells us which side of the argument he's on. He is not following the Constitution, and so maybe this good attempt to actually reassert and develop a class of congressmen who understand our Constitution is already being subverted by some of the people being chosen. So I encourage people to pray for Michelle Bachmann, and we're seeing if there's a way that perhaps Institute on the Constitution might be able to help in that process of training this freshman class of congressmen in a true constitutional government. But we know the more important thing, perhaps than even reaching the U.S. Congress, is reaching the state legislatures. And we've been invited to do that in North Carolina. We're excited to be able to train people who are in the state legislature, both the House and the Senate there in North Carolina. We've conducted classes here in the state of Maryland, and we're hoping to see that happen across the country, that we'd be able to connect with state legislatures and show them what happened here in the 16th and 17th Amendment is something that they can undo, and they can restore the power that is rightfully theirs as state legislatures and push back the tyranny of Washington, D.C., and protect their people, which is their sworn duty, protect their people from unconstitutional actions on the part of Washington, D.C., as it rolls forward in this this steamroller of tyranny that is going to eliminate all of our wealth and ultimately eliminate all of our liberty and steal all of our property. So those are the 16th and 17th Amendment, both terrible destruction, and both need to be undone and restored to the original balance of power to the state legislatures as designed by our founders. Now, we don't have to move very many years down the road to 1919 for the next amendment that was proposed, the 18th Amendment. This was an amendment that was the prohibition for the manufacture or sale of alcohol. And, a temperance movement had been underway in our country for probably close to 100 years by this point in time. And the movement was originally a good movement, that is, to encourage people to be temperate in their drinking if they were to drink at all, or to take a vow. They talked about getting on the wagon and taking the vow that you would not drink at all, which would deal with the problem of alcoholism in the country. That was fine. Individuals choosing to do this, communities choosing to do this. But when you get the federal government involved in something like this, it is no business doing anything about alcohol production, consumption, or sale whatsoever. And so this was a bad idea from the very beginning. It greatly expanded the power of the federal government over every individual throughout our country. If there was to ever be prohibition on the legal level that the government got involved in, it should have been at the local level. You know, a town might choose to say, we're going to be a dry town. No alcohol is going to be sold in our town. Or perhaps even a state might say, okay, we're going to control of the sale of alcohol. You know, I know just north of the border here in Pennsylvania, they have state stores. That is, all alcohol sold is sold in state-controlled stores. So those, you know, you could argue those are permissible, and those are a function of government at that level, but never, never should it ever have been taken to the federal level. If at all, it should have been states or local municipalities, and I don't believe even those necessarily are the best way. It should have been left to the most local level or to voluntary organizations that say, we're going to encourage people not to get drunk. We're going to encourage people to be controlled in their drinking or take a vow that they would not drink at all, that kind of thing. What happened with the 18th Amendment is the creation of an agency. Agencies, I think it was Ronald Reagan said something that the closest thing to eternal life in this world, the closest thing to immortality is a government program or a government agency. Because once the thing gets started, it has a life of its own, and you can never kill the wretched beast. It's a Frankenstein monster that's going to just haunt forever the people of that land, and that's exactly what we have as a result of the 18th Amendment. Two agencies that exist today, even though the 18th Amendment has been repealed, that is, it was specifically a stake driven through it by the 21st Amendment, completely repeal the 18th Amendment. The 21st Amendment did not end the bureaucracies, the two bureaucracies that were birthed out of the application of the power the federal government took as a result of the 18th Amendment. Those two agencies, the IRS and the BATF, and I guess now they have an E on the end of that, Bureau of Alcohol, Firearms, Tobacco, and Explosives. These two agencies continue, and they are extremely tyrannical. They were birthed right here in the 18th Amendment. It's because the federal government said we have to have enforcement powers. You know, we have to find who it is that's got a still out there on the back 40 that's making moonshine, and who are they selling their moonshine to? And we have to go down and break their stills, and we have to punish them and throw them in prison for producing alcohol and selling alcohol. And you know, the BATF and IRS were doing these wicked functions. But the interesting thing is that when trials were held, when these individuals were put on trial, again and again, the juries throughout America refused to convict anyone that was charged with having violated this prohibition that was part of the 18th Amendment, because the juries of that day understood that they got to judge the law as well as judge the facts. They judged that the law was wicked, evil, even if it was an amendment to the Constitution. So juries routinely set their fellow citizens free when charged with violating this 18th Amendment.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest has been Pastor David Whitney with the Institute of the Constitution. And basically, if you are out there in the listening audience and want to know what you can do to start to begin to restore our freedom, the first place to start is a knowledge and understanding of the Constitution of the United States, the Declaration, the Federalist Papers, and the Bill of Rights. We'll be right back. Well, David, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, think about the issue involved there. Many people have rightly said alcohol is a terrible evil and can do...
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Most Americans don't understand the Constitution. My good friend John Stormer told about giving a talk to a group of people. He said, how many of you want to get back to the Constitution? Well, there were 150 people in the room. 150 hands went up. He said, all right, now, of course, Social Security and Medicare are unconstitutional. How many of you are willing to give up your Social Security and your Medicare to preserve your freedom? Three hands went up. You see, that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. People have forgotten that a government that can provide whatever you need must be able to take whatever you have because government doesn't have any money. The whole Social Security and Medicare system were fraudulent, and now they've run out of money. And we're going to see some terrible, terrible times that lie ahead. You're going to have to start preparing to look after yourself, to look after your neighbor, to look after your family. And don't put it off. Don't think that this crisis is going to go away by itself. Why, we'll be lucky if we preserve our freedom. Much less, of course, preserve what we have materially. But this is the time to begin making preparations. Now, if you want to understand what's really going on, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you want to understand the financial crisis, you need to hear my talk on the financial Armageddon and get the syllabus that goes with that. That's the financial Armageddon and the syllabus that goes with it. If you want to understand how they're poisoning our children, why we're having an explosion of autoimmune disease, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, early Parkinson's disease, you need to hear my talk on the specter haunting America. If you want to understand the plan reduction of the population, where they plan to kill off most of the people in the world, and they're already in the process of doing it. They've created new diseases like AIDS, like Lyme disease, like chronic fatigue disease, like fibromyalgia. These are all new diseases, never existed, Ebola, certainly. You need to get my talk on planned population reduction or Nandere College Genocide. You want to know about AIDS? Two great books. One is called Project Daylily. The other is called AIDS, the Crime Beyond Belief. AIDS, the Crime Beyond Belief. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, I should comment that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you are in a position to help, we'd certainly appreciate it. My barber came to me just today and told me we're quite a bit behind on our payment of our bills here at Radio Liberty, and we have to raise, almost $500,000 a year. We don't get paid at all. Poor Barbara works certainly many times till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And, I do the same thing. But we do this because we want to educate the American people. If you're in a position to help us, well, I would appreciate hearing from you. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. But if not, why, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection, because we're on the front lines of this battle, believe me. Why, the government is collecting dossiers on everybody today. They plan on a dictatorship. If you haven't seen Jesse Ventura's excellent programs, they're up on the Internet, the Truth TV. You want to see his one on the concentration camps? You want to see his program on Plum Island? He has one on population control, which I participated in. That was last year. But you need to get the information, and you need to get it out. And certainly we have a number of Alex Jones's DVDs, going into the background of Police State 4, and we carry his program on the Bohemian Grove, on Endgame, goes into the Bilderbergers, and the plan for mass population reduction. Go to our website, radioliberty.com, and look at the various items that we have. And then, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our program, encourage them to listen. Maybe they'll start out thinking we're crazy. Before long, they're going to be afraid we're not. America is under attack today. And if we're to survive, why, of course, God is going to have to help. So please pray for America, pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend, Dr. David Kennedy, who's a retired dentist, who has given the last 20 years of his life to trying to educate people about the dangers of water fluoridation. He's put together a couple of excellent DVDs, which we carry. Let the truth be known. Let the truth be known. And basically, water fluoridation certainly affects fertility. It lowers intelligence, probably 10 points. It's carcinogenic. It creates softening of the bones, osteoporosis. It certainly creates thyroid disruption because the fluoride competes with iodine. It affects certainly the endocrine system. It produces heart disease. It increases the incidence of Down's disease. It lowers this male sperm count. And what else did I forget, David?
You know, these holes in concrete makes the water acid, so they dump in a ton of Drano to base to neutralize it. There's just so many things wrong. And you overdose the baby. The baby gets every 20 days enough to kill it if you give it to it in one day. There's so many things wrong with putting chemicals in the water supply that it boggles the imagination. But what really boggles the imagination is that the sheeple will put up with that. I mean, why would you let somebody mess with the water supply, for heaven's sake? That's the thing that I'm trying to get people to understand, is that we don't have to put up with this. This is our country. We don't have to just roll over and take it. They can't do that.
Well, what we need, of course, is the people out demonstrating. The people are out demonstrating and handing out flyers at every shopping mall and calling people on the phone. They're poisoning our children. They're poisoning our children. Other countries don't do this to their population, but they do it here in the United States. Europe doesn't allow this. The only country that's already fluoridated is part of Ireland, a little bit of Great Britain. But they're not allow this because they know it destroys the thyroid. It destroys fertility. It lowers the intelligence. Why would they do this? Well, basically, there are evil and wicked people out there. And the scientists who work for the EPA know what's going on. They've tried to get the information out. They've sent information to all the major newspapers. Not one of them would carry it. They sent letters to all the congressmen and senators. And, of course, they didn't get any response back. I think there were probably people in the representatives' offices there to keep the information, or they were afraid to speak out. But this, you can go to this website for the scientists for the Environmental Protection Agency. It's www.nteu280.org, nteu280.org, and read their information. You know all about that, David. Why don't you tell our listeners why that is such an important website?
Well, because that's the one that nailed it. Bill Marcus wrote the May Day memo, and the Congress ordered the National Toxicological Program to study and see if fluoride was a carcinogen in 1977. When they found it was in 1990, Bill Marcus blew the whistle on him. And they fired him, and he had to sue him under the Whistleblowers Act to get his job back.
And we wonder why we're having so much cancer today. Ladies and gentlemen, they know what they're doing. Not only that, but if you've heard our four tapes set on the New Order of the Barbarians, they've had treatments for cancer going back to 1969. They have suppressed them. Why? Well, as of course Dr. Richard Day, who's quoted in the tapes, had said, people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. We have treatments. We're going to keep them locked up. Could this really be going on in America today? You need to get our material on water fluoridation. You need to hear that four-tape set on the New Order of the Barbarians to get the transcript of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're up against organized evil. What are you going to do? Well, David, is there anything new in the fluoride issue?
Well, a couple of things. There's a nice study out of Australia showing that children that are exposed to fluoride develop what's called high bone mineral density. And then you have to be able to read another paper, one from Canada, showing that high bone mineral density and fluoride in the bone make the bone weaker. So we have now proven, beyond reasonable speculation, I would say, that fluoride in the bone causes weakened bones and is bad for people. So why would we allow them to continue that? And that's the thing I want to say. People have the right, they have the power to turn this around. They don't have to just accept it. This is your water supply. You're paying for it. There's an elected board. We can basically turn it to our favor. No, it's all about the money. The ADA takes money from
Procter & Gamble and Cargill and everybody and their brothers got fluoride to get rid of, gives the money to the dentist, and the dentist go out and tell you how good it is for your teeth. Well, none of the diseases that fluoride causes, except funny-looking spotted teeth, are the dentist licensed to treat. So spotted brain, no, can't handle that. Spotted arteries, no, they can't treat that. Bad broken bones, the arthritic backs, joints, no, they can't treat that. So there is no reason for anybody to take the dentist's word for it. And they can't, just like, you know, if you went to the dentist and he said, well, let's deliver that baby right here. And they said, well, Doc, what a training have you had in delivering babies? None, but I'm a dentist. We're good at everything, aren't we? We can tell you how safe it is to put a deadly poison in the water supply and assure you it won't harm anybody, except now, 60 years later, there's abundant proof that it's damaging the bones. It's causing half the children have funny-looking spotted teeth. I think we're overdosing the children.
Well, the thing is that the average dentist doesn't know these things, David, any more than the average doctor knows, because, of course, their medical journals, the dental journals, are controlled by the people on the other side, and there's an organized effort to demonize and certainly marginalize anybody who speaks out, any dentist who, and I know you've been on the front lines of this battle, but the dentists who tell the truth have the scientific facts behind them. They don't deal with the facts. They simply demonize or marginalize ridicule the people who are telling the truth.
Call us names. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but you know whose bacon is really in the fire, and that's the American Dental Association. But they also accredit all the dental schools, and they're the big dog when it comes to the money flow. So they're not just going to get sued. They're when the...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Dr. David Kennedy, a retired dentist who's been on the front lines of this battle, to let the American people know they're being poisoned, and you are being poisoned. They're poisoning your children. They know what they're doing. They're evil and wicked people, and it's much more, I believe, than simply the money that's at stake as far as the use of hydrofluorosilicic acid that, of course, they're putting into our water supply because they know it raises the level of the lead. Because it pulls the lead out of the solder, it pulls the lead out of bronze. And, of course, they know, according to Dr. Robin Masters' information, that when you use hydrofluorosilicic acid, and 90% of the communities that fluoridate the water don't use sodium fluoride, they use hydrofluorosilicic acid, why it raises the level of the lead in the blood of children, doubles it in white children, four times increase in Hispanic children and six times increase in black children. And, of course, this is associated with lead encephalopathy, associated with rage and criminal activity. And Dr. Robin Masters has shown that if you, in the communities where you use the hydrofluorosilicic acid, much higher level of criminal activity among the black population than in areas where they don't use hydrofluorosilicic acid. The study was done on 450,000 children. They know what they're doing. We've got Dr. Masters' remarks, his papers. The average dentist has never heard of any of these things. He doesn't even know the difference between fluoride and hydrofluorosilicic acid, and yet he's advocating that they use this in the water supply. What about lawsuits against the American Dental Association? Is there any way that we could help to finance something like that?
Well, you know, I think with the lawsuit is actually, there are a number of avenues that need to be pursued, and yes, there are ways we can finance that. It needs to come out of you know, good lawyers with very finely pointed lawsuits. It's gone to court a number of times, and every time it's got considered on its merits, the courts have determined it's a harmful substance, aggravates existing illness, and increases cancer death rates. Three different trials have determined that. Those findings of fact remain intact. However, cities get to do that because they have the police power. And the courts have ruled that it's not arbitrary or capricious if they have only one expert. But if they got one expert that says, putting this stuff in the water is real good for you, then they get to rely upon that. It's not the weight of the evidence or even reasonable reliance if there's no one else saying otherwise. So as long as they got one lobbyist willing to tell them it's good for the kids, they get to do it.
But what happens, I mean, certainly we know that, for instance, in Watsonville recently, there were a lot of people pointing out the dangers of water fluoridation. They knew it. In fact, they definitely didn't want to, but the city was threatened with lawsuits if they didn't fluoridate the water, and the people had voted it down. And yet they went ahead and did it anyway because they said, well, we can't tolerate the lawsuits from the state.
Did you see the amount of money that went into the mayor's pocket to get him to do that?
No, how did they?
Oh, that's why he did that. It's a payback. It's all crooked. But, you know, there were 100 ways they could not fluoridate. And the easiest one is that they could say in the contract that the contract requires the state to pay, or not the state, but a third party to pay 100% of the cost. They wouldn't do that. The California Dental Association wanted to be indemnified. Well, what's that mean? That means that they assume no liability. Why? Because when the stuff hits the fan, who are you going to go after? Well, if you go after the California Dental Association, so go see my friend over here at Watsonville, because they signed this contract protecting us. Go, if you sue the legislature, go see the people over at Watsonville, because they signed a contract protecting us. Well, go see the distributor of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Oh, well, go see the citizens of Watsonville. Sue yourself. I've heard that. Go sue yourself, because that's what that contract requires you to do. Well, that's stupid to sign that kind of contract. Why did the mayor and all of his cohorts sign that? Because they don't care about the people they're poisoning. They care about the money in their pocket from the dentist. And that's the thing that's corrupting our
Well, now, how much money did they get from... did they get personal money, or was it...
For their campaign, the mayor wants to become a state legislator, so he's you know, using this as a step up. He's put his foot on the face of those citizens there in Watsonville so he can leap to higher office and just totally ignore their will. You know, he'll fit right in with Sacramento. They're the ones that are causing this problem anyway.
All right, but what can be done practically, David? We can talk about, you know, but is there any lawsuit, any company, any law firm that would take a suit like this, and they get enough people in Watsonville to sign a petition, and then they bring in the scientific facts and say, look, you're poisoning us. Doesn't matter what the law is, you're poisoning us.
Got a better, we've already done that lawsuit. And then the court said, yes, we can poison you. We're entitled to do that because we're the elected officials. So what are you going to do with that one? The other way that you go is you go after it as from a constitutional complaint. You're dosing me with a product. You can do a simple lawsuit. You can say, was this product legitimately approved? Every substance added to the public water supply has an approval process. Congressional investigation in 2000, Jeff Green found that the hydrofluorosilicic acid had never been legitimately approved. Well, fine. Sue them. They're using an unapproved product. Nice, simple, clean lawsuit. Hit them right between the eyes and say...
But why isn't it ever being done? We keep talking about it, David. Why doesn't anybody ever do this?
Well, it's money. When people care enough, the first thing they do is they run out and they spend $500 for a water filtration system, and then they get that tested and found that didn't work, so they spend $10,000 on that, and then they found out that didn't work, so they spend another $10,000. And so now they've got $25,000 out there. Why don't they take that same amount of money, get 20 people together, and then you got $1 million, and you might as well take this thing to court? But it takes $1 million to get these things worked up and into court.
But how can you ever find a lawyer who cannot be purchased by the people on the other side?
Well,
very often we find out that when you have a lawyer, why should the other side buys them off? This has happened time and again.
Our friend here in San Diego, Norm Blumenthal, a patient of mine, has two kids with dental fluorosis, has over $1 million worth of billable hours that he can't collect because the city of Escondido overruled the previous judge two rulings and herself once. So three different times that we ruled it was a legitimate issue. Finally, she said, after they had no experts, like I said, can't have any controversy, we got rid of all their experts. All their experts admitted they were biased and using selected data. And so got rid of all the experts, okay, and so they had nothing left to save them, so they paid off a judge. And the judge says, citizens of Escondido are not entitled to water that's safe to drink. And so, you know, that's Norm Blumenthal. He did that on a pro bono basis and for over $1 million. Well, you know, he's not going to do it again for free. But he will do a real inexpensive one that is a constitutional complaint. And what's holding us up on that? We're ready to go on that. What's holding us up is we need a prisoner in Donovan or Las Colinas here in San Diego. Why? It's a complicated legal theory, but there's no municipality, no government, no elected official between those prisons and the source of their water. So they don't get to use police powers. So all of a sudden, we could go around the police power and saying, hey, you know, there's no government making the prison buy water that's got hydrofluorosilicic acid in it. And so they're medicating those prisoners without their consent. It's a shame that we have to go get Murderer's Row to protect our children, but the law is really clear. Is that the warden of the prison can't go down into the prison cell and start injecting the prisoners with some sort of drug that he dreamed up in his backyard. And that's exactly what the dentists are doing to the whole damn country, is that they went down and they dreamed up some theory that hazardous waste from China and Mexico was good for the kiddies, and they put it in the water supply.
Well, wait a minute now. Is the hydrofluorosilicic acid, I thought this was coming from our own fertilizer plants.
Well, the lie started here. You're right, Stan. The lie started here, but then there was a couple of, about three hurricanes in a row went right through the middle of Florida, and they broke open the holding tanks and killed a whole bunch of fish and the Everglades, but all those billions of gallons of hydrofluorosilicic acid ran away. And so that since then, there was a shortage of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Japan and China have been willing to step into that open market and get their hazardous waste and ship it over here. Thank you very much. They ship it in the dry form. It's called sodium silico fluoride. Add water, you got hydrofluorosilicic acid. So it's the dehydrated form. But same stuff, same contaminants. And China and Mexico are now some of the biggest suppliers, and Japan are some of the biggest suppliers. Interesting. Not one of those three countries allows it to be put in their water supply.
Well, no, basically, my understanding of the hydrofluorosilicic acid, not only it contains, you know, the fluoride, but it also contains arsenic and lead and polonium-220. Is that true?
Well, you know, in the Escondido case, the state of California was willing to stipulate, that means no argument, that there was arsenic in the product that they were adding to the water supply. So measurement of the product that they intended to add showed that there was an additional cancer of 1 out of 1,500 people in it, as you know, that were drinking that water. So, you know, so they are willing, you know, the arrogance of these people, they're willing to admit, yeah, I got arsenic in that, sure, no problem. But, you know, it's not over the maximum contaminant level. The public health goal is the level that doesn't cause harm to the citizens. 1 in 1,000,000 cancers, they call it. And that's 4 parts per trillion. That's 3 drops in the Charger Stadium, the great NFL stadium here in San Diego. It'd be 3 drops of fluid in that entire stadium full of water. It's 4 parts per trillion. So in that analysis, what they're up to is a bucket full. And so it's causing a lot of cancer.
Well, how are we going to get the information out, and then how are we going to get somebody to take the lawsuit? Are you working on that? I mean, you're trying to raise the funds, or what is the
current state? We got the funds. We'll have to raise funds as soon as it gets going, but we got the funds to take the suit all the way through the first trial. They'll appeal it, of course, but what we need is a prisoner in Donovan or a prisoner in Las Colinas. We need a person that's in either one of those two prisons who's willing to step up and protect the water supply.
But, of course, he does that. Why, the warden will come down on him if they'll take him out of there. They'll do something to be able to neutralize him.
Well, I saw Cool Hand Luke. There's some people with some courage in prison, too, aren't there?
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Dr. David Kennedy. Well, you know, this is one of the greatest human tragedies of modern.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Lawyers taking the case thinks they have to get a prisoner. Well, that would be better than just a member of the regular community.
No, they have the regular community, too. They want the prisoner to be part of the mix. They've got people with bad kidneys. They've got people with babies. They've got people that are susceptible to the toxic effects of fluoride. And they want a prisoner. They want to be able to. It's kind of like a chess game. You got to cut off the retreat. Well, the retreat they always go to is move. You should move. Well, you know, if you're locked up in the slammer, you can't move. And so that's to cut off the knee-jerk reaction that bureaucratic judges would say, well, you know, just go ahead and move. Well, not going to happen, is it?
They're well, I think that these are all excuses, you know. The thing is that they're poisoning the people. They're poisoning the children. When a child has dental fluorosis, it means they have had toxic levels of fluoride. Or certainly the American Pediatric Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the CDC will admit that, of course, the fluoride in the water doesn't do any good when ingested. Its only action is local. It does no good when it's ingested. So why are they asking the little children to ingest something that does no good for them and has potential harm? And then not only that, but they're giving it to adults, they're giving it to the elderly, and they know the toxic effects of this. We're actually poisoning the entire population. That's exactly what's going on. And where is the outcry from the medical profession. They're going right along with this because basically their medical organizations have been taken over. And I know because I was in these organizations, and the hierarchy were working against the health of the American people, against here in California, against the health of the people in California. And you tried to fight the system. Why? Even when you got the doctors solidly behind you, the hierarchy refused to carry out the directives of the doctors. They have their own agenda. That's why these people have spent their whole lives working themselves into key positions in organized medicine, so that many of them, so they can actually do physical harm to people. That's what's so tragic.
You know, and you know, as I was saying the other evening, is that you know, it's time for punishment. These people are breaking a lot of laws. They're, you know, they think they're just lobbyists, but you know, lobbyists can cause harm, and that harm is actionable, and that it's time that they be brought to justice. A lot of water districts are using products that have been legitimately certified. Well, you know, you can get away with that for a while, but when the people finally understand that there's real harm to their, like Kathy Justice and the poison horses, she lost several dogs as well, so they're causing harm to our community.
You know, I think you really are going to have to tell our listeners what you're talking about, David. I know what you're talking about, but who is this patient, and what about the horses?
Well, this is a one part of our one of our four part DVDs, Dr. Stan. We have a two 4-part DVDs. There was so a total of eight programs on this that people should play on public access TV in their communities, and they're all there's no. You know, copyright on it or anything like that, so you can go, you know, put it on the public access. You have our permission to put it on public access. Thank you very much. And one of them was Kathy Justice. She had show ponies. She had rooms, literally rooms full of ribbons that she won with her beautiful horses. And then they, in the late 80s, they began to get sick. And she finally figured it out. It was because the city of Potosi, Pagosa, Colorado, began to add hydrofluorosilicic acid to the water, and they were unusual, the ranch that actually had city water, and that poisoned the horses. She figured it out when the horses would stand there and eat snow in the middle of winter when it's like 20 below zero. They'd eat snow instead of drinking the water there that was nice and warm and city water. They knew, the horses knew, and so she said, figured out that they better get some new water for their horses, and they did, and the horses recovered. So It's a wonderful story of how one woman basically managed to stop the entire city from fluoridating, because she, all the other horse ladies and families and farms around there respected Kathy Justice's opinion about what made a really good-looking horse, and she figured out one of the things is you can't let it drink this darn water here. So they all got together and took the water department to task. There's a little snippet of the video in there on the poisoned horses. She shows you the stuff. She's getting out of the water. We started the hour telling you about the amount of stuff they got to put in and neutralize it. She'll show you. And it's in the bottom of a styrofoam cup. It looks like, you know, somebody threw up in there or something.
Well, basically, we carry Dr. David Kennedy's DVDs. We have two of them, Let the Truth Be Told. And there are actually four different programs on each one of those DVDs, aren't there, David?
Yes, they're four. Each one's a half hour long, so it's a total of 4 hours.
Right. So you get actually 2 hours with each one of the DVDs. But this information is important. David went over to China, and what the most interesting thing is, you see the kids in the schools where they don't have fluoride in the water. Happy little Chinese kids. See the kids in the cities where they do have fluoride in the water, and they're apathetic, and that's what they're doing to our children today. They're destroying their minds. We'll be right back.
Grateful for a land so fair.
Well, David, let's go right back to it. And of course, so you're certainly all set then to go with the court case. It's just a need a prisoner. Do you think you're going to be able to get one?
Well, you know, they go in and out all the time. So, you know, it's a question of finding a relative who can actually talk to them and then put our attorney on as their attorney of record, and we'll have this thing going in no time. It's just been real slow. We've been looking for this prisoner for 2 years. We almost get one, and then he gets moved.
Well, but see, that's the thing, that they can actually say, well, you know, because they'll bring pressure to move the prisoner.
If they're in that prison the day we file, which so the guys are set up to, you know, go in and file it. If they're in the prison the day we file, then it remains an issue. Is it if they move them before we file, it's no longer an issue. So we've got to get, you know, clandestinely in contact with them and then go from there. So that's one of the reasons I haven't said the name of the attorney. So, you know, that we, because the other side's listening to your program, Stan, so they're ready to come and try to thwart us at every turn. So if we seem a little cagey, we are.
Well, that's all right. I don't want you to blow the issue, because basically we're dealing with organized evil. These people are poisoning our children. They're doing it intentionally and purposely and maliciously because they know the damage that the fluoride does. I mean, they've got the studies. The CDC tested 450,000 children to find out the difference in the level of lead in the blood of the children in the areas where they fluoridated with hydrofluorosilicic acid, compared in the areas where they didn't use the hydrofluorosilicic acid. And of course, Robin Masters has found the alteration in the criminal activity among the blacks, and found a dramatic increase in the criminal activity in the blacks when they poisoned their mind. They got lead encephalopathy. They know what they're doing. These are government studies. Don't want the public to know. Hang on there. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. David Kennedy. We're talking about water fluoridation. We're talking about poisoning the American people. They know what they're doing. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Dr. Kennedy, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And then, of course, David, do you have a website or a place people can go to get more additional information?
Yes. You know, I've been reading the DAMS newsletter lately, so I think I'll give out the Dental Amalgam Mercury Syndrome. Leo Cashman has written a really good newsletter, and you can get that from him. And he covers both the mercury and the fluoride issue in detail. And the DAMS is D-A-M-S. Dental Amalgam Mercury Syndrome is the name of it, and that's their website is the DAMS website, and it's they're doing a good job of spreading the word. And you know what? We've got to let the public know that the dentists are not being truthful. And I'm a dentist, and you know, my dad was a dentist before me. So it's not that we're bad people. Is that when you control the dental education, you control what the public hears from the dentist, and what they're hearing is untrue. They're hearing about these tremendous reductions in tooth decay, blah, blah, blah. It just isn't true. And so ask them for the study, and you'll find it's a review study, or it has huge flaws in it. So it's just a bad joke, really. They have allowed, dentistry is not allowed to diagnose or treat any of the illnesses that mercury and fluoride cause, except funny-looking spotted teeth or broken teeth. So we have a dental profession, a rogue profession, that accepts money from industry and then goes out and teaches students in dental school facts that are not true. So if you had a dental school, you tell the students that mercury's totally locked into the filling and doesn't come out at all. Well, that was proven false in the 1800s, but they're still telling the students that today. And the student goes out and lies to their patient.
But in my understanding, about almost half the dentists have given up using mercury fillings. In other words, at least half the dentists now realize what they've been taught is a lie. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Well, I don't think so. I think half of them don't use it, because when you walk in the office and say, do you use mercury? And he says, yeah, that mercury, that's really good stuff. And you say, oh, you know, I think I left my motor running in the car. I've got to go. And you don't come back. Well, they only do that about three times. And they say, I'm losing business here. So the next time somebody comes in and says, you use mercury, no, don't have the stuff anywhere near around. And so, boom, that guy doesn't get any mercury. But that doesn't mean that they're mercury safe. So they'll grind on your filling, stuff it down your throat, and let you inhale all the fumes, and make you sick or not well, but it's economics that's driving them, not a moral quest or even a full understanding of what the problem is. Is that they're basically, you know, willing to poison you for the money. And that, I think that has, unfortunately, a great deal to do with the number of dentists that are currently not using mercury at all.
Okay, well, Sydney, at least I'm glad that almost half the dentists, or maybe even half the dentists, have given up the mercury. And so, basically, this has really only been in the last, what, 5, 10 years that they've
cut back? Yeah, 20 years ago, 3% of the dentists didn't use any mercury. And the most recent survey was, I think, 2006, and it was 51% of the guys and 49% of the girls. And so, between the two of them, it's 50, a little over, a hair over 50%.
And so basically, you know, you and the other people there is, in your organizations have had an impact. Whether the dentists like it or not, they've gotten away from the mercury. The mercury, ladies and gentlemen, poisons. It comes out of the fillings. And basically, you really need to go to that website. What is it?
IAMT. We just had an International Academy of Oral Medicine Toxicology, IAOMT.
IAOMT, International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology. Go to their website, www.iaomt.
.org. And you'll see on there our most recent press release. We've got a nice new study that came out this Monday, yesterday. Day before yesterday, and Monday it came out, and it was the Alzheimer's linked to mercury, thoroughly linked to mercury. I said they said in the press release, likely to cause, and so Maria Shriver, Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife, said that Alzheimer's disease is going to bankrupt this country. Well, if the few billion dollars they spend on fixing teeth ends up with many thousands of people with their brain totally fried, then yes, it will bankrupt this country. And so that doesn't happen the first day they get the filling. That happens over a period of time. And that's what chronic low-dose exposure to mercury causes in some people. Parkinson's is another, MS, ALS. Now, fluoride doesn't cause those diseases, but it aggravates every single one of them. It's a huge oxidant. You hear about aging is antioxidant? Well, the ultimate electron grabber is the fluoride. It will snatch an electron off any molecule, including the inert gases. So this is the most electronegative of all of the elements. So it's a huge problem. Now, for industry, they love it because they can use it as flux for welding to clean up the weld and all that stuff, crack gasoline, etch glass. But in the water, it doesn't quit being a poison. So it gets into your bones and kills your bones and makes them brittle. So you have hip fractures, joint pain, all that stuff. But ultimately, there are many avenues where people could stop this. First off, I tell people to protect your family. Make sure that you've got some source of water that the family can drink and not be poisoned. If you have to go buy it. I don't care. But don't let a drop of that stuff touch your lips. That's the first thing you got to do. And that includes beer, coffee, soup, foods that are processed with it, rice, pasta. You can't eat it. You can't drink it. You can't let it take bath in it. So you've got to figure out a way you protect your family. After you protect your family, then go to work for your country. And that means you need to stop this everywhere. There's lots of things they're breaking the law on. So you just need to figure out in your own community. It's different from community to community. It's a bush war. We're fighting city to city. You were talking Watsonville. We won in Santa Cruz. We just got Watsonville now. They're working on San Diego. We can't sue them until they buy the stuff. We sued them once about 5 or 7 years ago, and they argued in court, well, we haven't done it yet, so you can't sue us. Okay. Do it. Then we'll do it again. So anyway, it's a tough road to hoe, and it takes lots and lots of money. And so that means that all the people are sitting on their wallets and just thinking about their own kids instead of thinking about the future of their nation, I think they need to turn in their Patriot card and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of myself today. And we need to go to work for this country and save it from the industry. Industry makes us wealthy. Industry makes us poor. Industry makes us wealthy. It's a schizophrenic relationship.
Well, I think we've had your friend, Dr. Richard Schauerheber, I believe is his name. And we've had him on, and really it's very fascinating information. He's actually, of course, has tested all these various programs certainly that they have for water cleaning, the reverse osmosis. And basically he says really none of them work. He does have one, and we'll be talking about that later, where they use a bone, like, was it the bone char? No.
Bone char is the one they use in Thailand as well.
Right, and of course this will actually take the fluoride out, and we'll be telling her when we have him on our program how to get these units. And basically they can be purchased in California. He was actually saying that the Berkey water filters, the fluoride filters, do a good job in Northern California, but not in Southern California because the water is so alkaline. Of course, we can't sell them to you in Southern California. If you have alkaline water, it doesn't work. But if you have regular water, why, of course, it works quite well.
It's a very complex thing. The best way to keep the fluoride out of your water is to start at the water treatment plant. So if they don't bring the ship full of the junk from China and Japan and Mexico, then we don't have to worry about how to take it out at the tap. The other stuff that's in water is easy to get rid of. The Berkey's a wonderful way to get rid of the trihalomethanes and the other debris that you find in water that should be filtered out. I like clean water. But if you have the hydrofluorosilicic acid, that molecule is a very strange molecule, and it's very hard to get out of water. And so it just shouldn't be allowed to dissolve it in the water. And I think there are lots of different lawsuits. Right now in California, there's a thing called First Five. These are a program where the citizens of California have taken 50 cents, I think, a pack of cigarettes, goes into a fund to support the health of children. They're using that money to buy hazardous waste and put in the water supply demonstrably to harm children. Well, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know that much about the law, but I think that might be actionable. I think maybe the board members of the First Five might be personally liable because, you know, if they haven't done any due diligence and they've decided to buy hazardous waste, it's not FDA approved as a drug for the kids. They've decided to buy something for the kids that's not FDA approved. They've decided to use a product that has never been legitimately certified, and they're going to spend our tax dollars on that, which is not a requirement of the law. So, you know, I think there might be some personal liability on all of
that. Well, you look into it and keep us posted. Right now, let's go to Maggie, who's calling us from Texas. Maggie, how are you hearing us? You're hearing us on the internet or what?
I'm hearing you on the internet, although I sometimes am able to get you on shortwave as well.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. I would like to ask Dr. Kennedy, where exactly, I don't mean what locality, but the Chinese fluoride, is it also a byproduct of the fertilizer industry or some industry?
I believe it's there. Yes, I believe it's it's called the superphosphate industry. It's where they take limestone, they acidulate it with phosphoric acid, and hydrofluoric acid comes off, and they precipitate it with a mist of wastewater, and that basically comes down to hydrofluorosilicic acid. They're shipping to us a product that's called sodium silicofluoride, which is basically the dehydrated form. They turn it into a solid because the ease of transport by ship.
I see. But basically, so they're getting it in the same way that we make it. My other and related question is there still a substantial Florida phosphate or superphosphate industry based on Cargill, or has that mostly gone away?
I read something just the other day that I think they may have seen the writing on the wall, and you know how the If you bail out 1 minute before the plane hits the ground, then you're not in the fiery crash. And I think that the Cargill has begun to spin off their superphosphate industry. So I think they may begun to see the writing on the wall. If you look at what they're doing now, what they're doing exactly, I don't know. But I know they were instrumental in convincing the California legislature to add the fluoride. I know they've been working around Austin also. So they have tons of it to get rid of, and their solution is to put it in your water.
Okay, anything else, Maggie?
We know that. Just that I have heard that recently a large mine in Florida was forced to close for environmental reasons, so that will take away part of the supply as well.
It's like a balloon, though, where you squeeze it, you squeeze it here and it pops out over there. The reason for the big push for fluoridation is because of the air pollution. They told the factories they can't, be spewing the stuff in the air anymore, so they got to collect it.
And they're using it to poison our children. Hey, Maggie, thanks very much for calling. God bless you. And let's go to Will, who's calling from Missouri. Hi, Will, are you listening to us on the Internet?
I'm listening to you over the Internet, Dr. Stan, and I have a question for Dr. Kennedy in regards to these various contaminants that may be in our water supply. Here in southwest Missouri, we have an annual water quality report that's put out by the local little small town that I'm in, where we find barium and copper and lead and radium and all kinds of things in the water. My question to the doctor is there a testing laboratory where I could take a sample or samples of my water and send them in with a payment of some sort and get a credible and reliable analysis done so that I can determine whether or not we're being fed something other than barium and copper?
You don't like copper? Yes, there are many good laboratories. I don't know... I know Omni, who are the people that sell the fluoride for dentists to put on children's teeth, used to test water for fluoride levels for free, which is kind of nice of them. But whether they were accurate or not, I don't know. I never heard any complaints. So
I haven't seen any on the Internet, Dr. Kennedy, that would give you a full spectrum analysis on water so that you could look at all of these various contaminants.
Well, here's what they're doing on your water bill, is that they're required by the Safe Drinking Water Act to tell you what's in the water. And so they tell you whether or not it's above or below what's called the MCL, the maximum contaminant level.
Correct.
Well, maximum contaminant level is not a healthful level. If the water is at the maximum contaminant level of anything, it's not good for you, I guarantee you. The maximum contaminant level is based upon the cost of making the water better. And so they say, oh, it costs too much to take the arsenic out. Okay, well, you can have this much arsenic in there. Is that much arsenic causes a lot of cancer? So what industry has decided to do is say, well, it's the filler-up approach. Well, because you can have 10 parts per billion arsenic and your water only has one, well, we got 9, so we'll put 9 in there and we'll fill it up and it's still within the MCL. Well, wait a minute. There's another standard, which is called the Public Health Goal, or MCLG, and that's the one you can be exposed to for a lifetime. And for arsenic, it's 0 nationwide. In California, it's 4 parts per trillion, which is infinitesimal. This is a scientifically derived endpoint where there is no harm. The EPA asked the National Academies of Science to review the fluoride issue. They said the goal was 4 parts per million, and the National Academy of Science unanimously agreed that that wasn't a lifetime healthful level to consume. It was going to cause problems, and they pointed out that levels as a tenth of a part per million were causing problems for small children. So that they don't tell you that on your water bill. They tell you whether or not it's below MCL of 4. They say, oh, well, we only have, or if they add fluoride, they say, and we add 1 part per million fluoride to make strong, healthy teeth, which is a lie. It doesn't do that.
Well, David, is there any place that he could send his water to get us tested? Do you know of any lab where he could really get a good analysis?
I don't have any labs in my pocket. No.
I mean, you don't, and Will, you've looked up on the Internet, you can't find any?
I've spent hours looking, Dr. Stan, and there are some alternatives, but they are associated with people who sell products, filtration products, and so I'm not confident that I would get a good report from them. I'd like to have an independent testing laboratory at either a university or independent.
All right, fine. If anybody's out there in the listening audience and knows of a good laboratory, give us a call, and if it's after hours, if the program's over, you can call our 800 number, 800-544-8927. And we'll be with you here for about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes here. You can call our 888-24 Liberty number. But, well, we'll see if we can come up with anything. I really can't help either, but I'm sure there's laboratories out there because, of course, who is doing the analysis for your water district? Could I suggest something? Call your water district, ask who's doing their analysis, would you?
I certainly will. Thank you very much, Dr.
God bless.
Stan.
Thanks so much. And that was Will calling from Missouri. And, of course, we have people out all across America listening on the Internet. Let me suggest if you seriously considering get a RIC satellite, then you can listen 9 hours a day to our programs. And we hope, of course, that many of you will want to do that if we do have to give up our shortwave. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, David, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program this evening.
Dr. Stan, I Googled drinking water.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Then there is My Talk. It's a DVD called The Hidden Agenda. And there's an excellent syllabus that goes with that, even if I do say it's one of the best syllabuses we have. So the Hidden Agenda talk on water fluoridation, the Hidden Agenda syllabus, and it's got all sorts of great information in it, and scientific studies and information from the CDC, who will admit it doesn't do any good to swallow the fluoridated water. It's only active on the teeth, only active locally, where it kills the bacteria. How does it kill the bacteria? Fluoride is a poison. It kills the bacteria because it's a poison. Well, wait a minute. What does it do to you? Well, it poisons you, too. Understand, they know what they're doing. And then, of course, the hydrofluorosilicic acid is even worse because it raises the level of lead and is definitely affiliated with criminal activity. We have Dr. Robin Masters' work from Dartmouth, if you're interested in that aspect of it. And then, of course, we carry the book, The Fluoride Deception. We have two 4-CD or 4-tape sets on water fluoridation. So we have this in the DVDs, Let the Truth Be Known by Dr. Kennedy. We have My Talk on a DVD, The Hidden Agenda. the syllabus that goes with that, the book, The Fluoride Deception, and then 2 4-tape sets. Or go to our website if you can't afford it. Simply go back in our monthly letters. You'll see one on water fluoridation. Get the information and help us to get it out. They're poisoning our children. Then, of course, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand what energizes these people. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you're out there in the listening audience and you're in a position to help Radio Liberty so we can maintain our 60 outlets every single week of one sort or another, give us a call. We'd appreciate hearing from you. And if you're not in a position to help financially, then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, because we are indeed on the front line of this battle. They plan to establish a police state here in this country. And one reason they're using the water fluoridation is because it makes people more placid. They found that in Hitler's Germany. They found that in the Gulag Archipelago in Russia. Why do we hear this in America? Because they control the media, ladies and gentlemen. The Brotherhood of Darkness controls the media. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. Read our newsletters. Check the sources of reference. And then, of course, you can watch our DVDs, you can listen to our radio programs, you can go to our section on other videos on the web. Go to our section on emblems, cult emblems, because they hide their emblems in plain sight. They know exactly what they're doing, and they laugh at you because the average individual is too dumb to understand. The emblems on the back of the dollar bill, the emblem of the ancient mystery religions, of the ancient knowledge, and that's the glorified eye above the pyramid there on the back of the dollar bill. Beneath the caption, "In God We Trust," but what God are they talking about? And until you understand that there is a worldwide Luciferian movement, it's coordinated today through the Lucius Trust. It used to be the Lucifer Publishing House. And, of course, they work in conjunction with a myriad of Luciferian organizations. There really are people today who worship Lucifer. And those of you who listen to our programs regularly know where you can get the information. Go up on the Internet, or you can guess in the look up the occult hierarchy. Actually, our name is there. We have a three-pamphlet set, about 150 pages in the three pamphlets, on the occult hierarchy that rules the world. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we ask you to tell others about our radio programs, encourage them to listen, and, of course, then please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty. And so, until tomorrow at the same time when we'll be back, may the Lord be with you.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world, and then doing something about it. It is the 16th of November 2010, and you are in the right place today to find out more about the news they seem to lose. That's right. Amazing, isn't it? Just absolutely amazing. Now that the elections midterms are over, it's kind of like, okay, well, now what do we talk about? It's really interesting. And, of course, what is it going to be? It's going to be, will Sarah Palin run for the presidency? I mean, with the problems that we have, and yet they're talking about Sarah Palin. Well, she's got a reality show. I mean, this is a new way to run for an election, don't you think, for presidency, is a reality show. I don't like it. But a million viewers did on Sunday night. A million viewers tuned in for that program. And she's being paid $1 million per episode. Well, that's just only one issue in the news. I want to tell you about what George Bush said on television in a Fox interview the other night. I mean, if he said it on family TV, I can say it. But was it appropriate? I don't think so. This man has to be losing it, or, in past tense, lost it. Incredible what he had to say. I'll share that with you. A